if we look at the flat screens, this is a photo of Angelo Roncalli. He's in the center. He's an Italian seminarian. This is the year 1901. Note he's very young and healthy. He was ordained a priest at the very young age of 23. And he was so healthy, he was made a military chaplain in World War I. At the age of 57, however, he put on a lot of weight after eating mama's pasta. And so he wrote in his journal, "In December, I received a grave warning about my physical health. I took the necessary measures at once. A year later, I feel much better, although I see signs of old age in my thinning hair. I must always keep myself familiar with the thought of death, not to sadden myself, but on the contrary, to fill with wisdom, joy, and calm the span of life that still remains for me here below. But what an obligation this is for me, to seek more earnestly to sanctify myself." Some of you know he was elected Pope in 1958. So he became he took the name John the 23rd, and now he's a saint. He's Saint John the 23rd. So the point of this is that even saints get wake-up calls. And God allows us to grow old to wake us up and to get us ready for death. We're called to eternal life, but we often think about the good life we have here below. So we get distracted. And so God, in his goodness, he allows us to get stiff and to put on weight and to get wrinkly skin and maybe to lose our hair. Anyone here losing their hair? No one. God bless you. Wake-up calls are gifts because they focus us on reality. In the gospel, Jesus gives us two wake-up calls to the reality of death and judgment, not to sadden us, as St. John the 23rd said, but to spur us on to sanctity. Here's the first wake-up call. "As the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." The eating and drinking are signs of a carefree and foolish life. And then Noah is the symbol of those who respond to God faithfully, and they respond to him in love, while the rest of the world, who doesn't love God, doesn't obey his commandments, they are punished. And the idea that the judgment comes while people are working in the field or grinding meal together, that means that Jesus is going to come just on a regular day. And so he says, keep awake, always ready for death and judgment. No one likes to talk about death or judgment. You know why? It's because we're not ready. My high school chemistry teacher, she would always say, the only people who don't like tests are those who aren't ready for them. I didn't like my high school chemistry teacher. But she also said, the people who are ready, they always look forward to doing well on the test. Now, we pointed out in March, being a good person is not enough to pass the judgment. Being a good person is not enough to get into heaven. Why? We said three reasons. One, well, what do you mean by good? Do you mean good according to the Bible, or do you mean good according to Canadian standards? Because Canadian standards are really low. Good in Canada just means be nice. And you don't even have to stand up against evil to be good according to Canadian standards. And we're good if we follow our conscience, but who can say that they always follow their conscience? I don't. Number two, being good is not enough to pass the judgment to get into heaven because everyone needs a savior, right? Everyone's a sinner. Everyone sins, and we have to make up for it. Well, who's going to do that? I can't make up for all my sins. I need someone to do it for me. And that's Jesus, if I accept him in faith and love. And number three, being good is not enough to get into heaven, because what is heaven? Heaven is being with God the Father. So if you don't love God the Father, why would you be there? Right? Here's a second wake-up call. Jesus says, "But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. It's very interesting. Jesus compares his coming to something negative, a thief. Why? Well, because judgment is all something positive, but also there is that negative aspect to it. Jesus is going to judge us fairly, but it's not something to be taken lightly. So he says, you also must be ready. We're now starting this new liturgical season we call Advent, which is always 4 weeks before Christmas to get us ready for Christmas. So this year we have 24 days now until Christmas. Now the word Advent comes from Latin meaning coming. So we're in Advent, we always celebrate two comings. The first coming is Jesus comes as a baby. Second person of the Holy Trinity takes on human nature and takes the name Jesus. And why did he do it? To reconcile us to God the Father. Now he came to win us, and he came with urgency. That's the first coming. Second coming is what we profess and what we're going to profess today in the Creed. It says, he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And that's a wake-up call. That's a wake-up call for all of us. So I've been thinking about this wake-up call for over a year now. I've been praying about it. And I know that all of us Catholics, we tend to get very complacent in our response to Jesus. And we get complacent in our missionary, our evangelization focus. So Jesus was preaching with urgency, and we don't have a lot of urgency. And so I was thinking, how are we going to change that? What are we going to do to mimic and imitate Jesus' urgency? And so this is what he's led me to. We are going to start a new season right now. It's called Alpha as Culture. And what we're going to do is we're going to use the virtues of the program Alpha. And what I want to see is I want to see all of us live those 7 virtues all the time. I'll get to it in a minute. Now, I'll get to that in a minute. Alpha, just so we're all on the same page, is this 12-week program, international, so fruitful because it's so respectful of people. It's very warm, it's very winsome, very loving. And what it does is it's led to so many conversions. It's helped people encounter Jesus in a tangible way. And because it's led to so many conversions here at St. Anthony's and in the world, it's this global phenomenon. Okay, here are the 7 best practices of Alpha that we want to focus on. And we're going to do 1 practice per week. It goes prayer, hospitality, listening, evangelistically positioned, which means we're reaching out to people, the Alpha Talks, which means encountering the person of Jesus, the Alpha Weekend, and training. So when I say the season is called Alpha as Culture, what I want to see is when if we're hospitable, we're not just going to be hospitable when we're running the program, right? We have to breathe it. We have to be hospitable all the time. It has to be part of our culture and our character. So if we go through these 7 practices, it's going to be very similar to what we did last year, getting ready at Advent for Christmas. Okay, today we're focused on the importance of praying for other people. Now there's this famous line that they always say about Alpha, and it's this. Alpha is designed to fail if God doesn't show up. It means it's dependent on God. If God doesn't show up to Alpha, what do you have? You have a video and a discussion. That's good, not great. Right? But if the Holy Spirit is the principal mover, our hearts start to change and we start to see that conversion of heart. So every time we run Alpha, and this year we're running it Thursday, January 9th, we ask the 124 people in our intercessory prayer ministry, we say, can you please pray for the Alpha team and the Alpha guests? We need you to pray. And then the Alpha team, they pray every day for the guests and they really pray with hope. They prayed, oh, that something big is going to happen. Okay, today we want to pray for the people we love. And I'm going to start asking you to think about this. Who are the people in your life that you love that you would want to encounter Jesus? And they could already be Catholic. They might already go to Mass, but it doesn't mean they've encountered Jesus. And what we're going to do is we're going to use what's called the 1102 prayer. The 1102 prayer is based on Luke chapter 11, verse 2, where the disciples say, Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he teaches them the Our Father. So what we're going to do is we're going to write down the names of people we love. We're going to set an alarm on our phones, either 11:02 a.m. or 11:02 p.m. And then we're going to pray for these people. Now, if you could pass out the red cards at the end of your pews. Let's pass them out right now. So everyone in the pew should get one, please. Thank you so much. Just pass them down. We'll take a look at them. We don't have to start writing down names right now. Let me explain how it's going to work. Okay, does anyone still need a card? If you need to put up your hand, we'll get you a card. Okay, you'll notice, this is the improvement from last year. Last year we did something very similar. We wrote down the names of people we love and we prayed for them. This is the improvement. This year there's two sides to the cards. There's the left side, which is bigger. You write the names down there. And then you hand that left side, the big card, into the collection. And the ushers will separate it. We're going to put all those cards underneath the altar, just like we did last year, because from the book of Revelation it said that the martyrs were underneath the altar praying. And this is going to be a sign that we're going to write the names of people we love and we're going to bring them right to Jesus' sacrifice. Okay, that's what you do with the left. Now the right side, this is a small one. This is mine. I've already written down my names of the people I love. You're going to take that home. You're going to set the alarm on your phone, 11:02 a.m. or p.m., your call, and you're going to pray for those people every single day. Now, some people are going to say, but Father Justin, sometimes I'm at Mass at 11:02 a.m. Well, just do it before or do it right after. No, Father Justin, I'm at work. How can I pray? I've talked to all of your bosses, and they gave you permission to pray this prayer. Okay? It's just 1 minute of intense and heartfelt prayer. Okay? So you're going to write the names down on the left side and the exact same names on the right side. Now I want to show you a 2-minute video from Alpha, and this is going to show us the spirit of Alpha and get us really thinking about who does God want us to pray for? Now I want to take it even a further step deeper than what we did last year. Last year we prayed. Now I'm going to teach you how to offer up your work and your suffering or any action you want for the people on these cards or for anyone. And I'll do it with a story. There was a cardinal in Rome who was having temptations against faith. So he's starting to doubt our faith. And he was praying, and one day he had a vision, and he saw a sister, a nun, what we call a poor Clare nun. And as soon as he had that vision, all of his doubts went away, and his faith was strengthened. A few months later, he goes to visit a poor Clare monastery, and when he's giving Holy Communion, he sees the sister he had seen in a vision. So he had to go see her. And when he went to see her, he asked her, "Sister, can I just ask you, do you ever pray for cardinals?" And she embarrassingly said, "Not enough, Your Eminence. I only pray for cardinals when I'm folding my laundry every night." Do you get it? The idea is that she offered up her folding of the laundry with such love that that restored his faith. Now that is the power of when you're connected to Jesus, when you're united with Jesus. If you offer up anything you do with love, for love of Jesus, and you apply that to someone who needs it, you're going to help them. Okay, so you can say a prayer like this every day, multiple times a day. It would go like, "Lord, today I'm going to offer the love with which I do my house chores, my homework, my work at the office, even listening to Father Justin's homily, that the people I'm praying for may come to know you." Okay, very simple. Can we do that every day, 11:02 a.m. or p.m., please? In 3 weeks, we're going to talk, how do we invite people to Alpha? This year, we're not going to really focus on inviting to Christmas Mass. You can do that, of course, but we've realized that inviting to Alpha is much better for the people we love. Jesus is waking us up to the reality of judgment, and he's helping us to become more outward focused. When our mother Mary appeared in Fatima, Portugal in the year 1917, she told the three children, she said this famous words. She said, "Pray. Pray a great deal and make sacrifices for sinners," which includes us, "for many souls go to hell because they have no one to sacrifice and pray for them." And that's not going to happen here. So we're all getting older. And we might even die before Christmas. And we might lose that opportunity to invite. And the people we love could die within a year. We might lose that opportunity. So Christmas is coming, and now is the time to pray for the people we love. I'm personally really looking forward to this season because all the preparation that we've been doing, it's changed the way I love people and the way I reach out to people. So I now pray for people very intentionally. And even when I meet people on the street, some of the names on my list are people I have just met briefly. And when I meet them, I'm more confident than ever before, talking to them about Jesus and even inviting them. Please remember Saint Monica. She prayed for 15 years for her son with tears that he would come back to Jesus. And I thought about her son, now Saint Augustine, because the day he finally came, chose to believe in Jesus, he opened up the Bible randomly and he opened it up to today's second reading, which is about waking up. So now we're going to take 4 minutes of prayer, reflection, and we're going to fill out the cards while Chris, he's going to play an organ piece called Prayer of Our Lady. You don't have to write down all 10 names. You write down as many names as God gives you. On both sides, rip it in half. The left side, put it in the collection. Right side, take it home. You can put it even in your wallet or on your cell phone case. Don't forget to set the timer on your phones. Wake up calls are gifts.